Companies just can't stop promising that AI can do things it either can't or shouldn't do. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. The insurance company Lemonade is all about automation. To file claims, customers upload a selfie video, and Lemonade's chatbot, AI Jim, will handle some claims automatically. On Twitter this week, Lemonade got in trouble, suggesting that AI handles fraud detection and uses nonverbal cues to assess some claims. Researchers said that capability doesn't exist and could be discriminatory if it did. Lemonade quickly downplayed how much AI it uses and said it's not based on physical features. Ryan Kalo is a professor of law at the University of Washington who studies emerging tech and policy. He and I talked just a month ago about the FTC warning companies about how they communicate about AI. Like, maybe.
They have a bot that is called AI Jim, and it does handle some automatic transactions, but it does not use AI. However, Lemonade is a company, and a big part of its supposed competitive edge is the fact that it uses AI. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's so confusing. I mean, you call something AI Jim, and you say, well, it actually doesn't use AI. But what I love about it, Molly, is it's like a beautiful illustration of all the problems in the industry. Mm-hmm. Calling something a bot, only to have to backpedal and deny that you're using AI in some circumstances where it looks like you are, because it's so concerning and problematic.
We just had a conversation, you and I, about the Federal Trade Commission saying we're going to crack down on companies that exaggerate what their AI can do or tout AI capabilities that could prove discriminatory. Seems like this is that.
The FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, publishes a blog post, says don't do A, don't do B. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks later, a company puts out a thread on Twitter saying we do A and we do B, basically, right? And so people said, look, if you try to analyze video footage and you try to use these nonverbal cues, what you're going to wind up finding is that people who are not, that don't behave exactly the way as the honest people in your training set, mm-hmm. are going to look like they're dishonest. And in fact, they're not. So they did a thing, which is that they did something that seems like it would be discriminatory if they really did it. You know, as a sort of observer of the space, it does look like they're doing the very same things that the FTC said not to do 2 weeks ago.
And what does this do to public confidence? At a minimum, it seems that the FTC's declaration has raised awareness of this so that when Lemonade comes out and you know, tweets these things and says these things, that they immediately get called on it. But Twitter is kind of a walled garden. What does this mean for the public in terms of trying to understand exactly what happens? It's possible Lemonade uses AI in some processes, but not in others, and we just don't know.
Well, Molly, I just want to say that, you know, yes, the FTC blog raised awareness, right? But it's also these researchers who have been doing this work for years and years, often BIPOC researchers, but also other researchers, Kate Crawford in her book Atlas of AI, you know, Luke Stark, one of my own students, Jevin Hudson. People in the community have been doing this research, and it's so validating that it has reached the government agencies and it's reached the public. And I think it's a great development, Molly, that people are so attuned. You're right, of course, Twitter is not the whole world. I think what we do need is we do need policymakers, enforcers to actually come up with laws and enforce them, or at least come up with the standards that they're saying. And I do think that's necessary. People mm-hmm. criticized Lemonade. Many people spotted it way before me. I do think that some of the talk about the Federal Trade Commission might have also contributed to them taking it down. Because, you know, it's sort of one thing to draw the ire of this community. It's another to think that you're going to be in the spotlight of the nation's, you know, leading consumer watchdog. Mm-hmm. But I do want to give credit where it's really due, which is the many researchers, often themselves from marginalized populations, who have evidence that this happens again and again and have called attention to it.
How common do you think it has become for companies to, I mean, we certainly see it all the time, for companies to essentially say, we use AI and it's magic. I mean, I think there was literally a point in one of of Lemonade's either tweets or documents where it said, you know, we do this with technology we can't even understand.
That's right. And imagine, right? So imagine sort of bragging about using something that has consequential decision, you know, as a consequential impacts, like whether you get insurance or whether your claim is validated, and then bragging about the fact that you don't even know how it works. You know, what Kate Crawford calls this is enchanted determinism in her book about AI. It's this idea, I mean, and it's like you sort of, it calls to mind like, you know, like the sorcerer's apprentice.
And, right.
And it's just like this idea that this stuff is just magical and so on. You know, it's not. I mean, the other thing too I think is important is that when it goes wrong, these days, it's harder to say that this is not foreseeable and not predictable. We've seen so many examples of AI that purports to tell you whether someone is politically left or right, or whether they're gay, or whether they're honest, or whatever. You know, we've seen it happen again and again, and again and again, we've seen it get debunked. We've also seen these systems be deployed, and again, they are not working well for the most vulnerable and minority populations because of the way training data works. And then sometimes when they're working only too well, they're deployed against vulnerable populations like the Uyghurs at the border of China. What was so shocking to me was that Lemonade hadn't read the tea leaves. Mm. What was so shocking to me is that the company could not have been, was not paying attention enough in the space that they would realize that this series of claims that they made and their attempts to honestly roll them back would be encountering such a sophisticated, knowledgeable context. And so I'm hoping that, you know, the researchers and the journalists and everyone else on Twitter, I'm hoping that's going to spill into broader society and we'll start to see some guardrails being placed there by policymakers and enforcers.
Yeah, I mean, Lemonade ran into a wall of public sentiment. How important is it, though, that the FTC follow on behind, either in this case or others, and actually do what it said it would do in its blog post?
I think it's important. You know, news cycles are fast. Consent decrees last for 20 years. And so I think for the long run, it really matters that the Federal Trade Commission or other bodies pursue these kinds of things. Being in a consent, you know, order with the FTC matters, and it matters for a long time.
Ryan Kalo is a professor of law at the University of Washington. And now for some related links. Once again, I simplified many of the details of what really happened with Lemonade on Twitter. One of the problems is that the company first tweeted that it uses AI to handle fraud, then said, well, no, we don't use AI to deny claims. And then CNN reporter Rachel Metz found an SEC filing where Lemonade quite clearly said it did resolve claims in about a third of cases without any human intervention. We've got links to that back and forth over at marketplacetech.org, as well as some of the company's blog posts about its AI, like one that claims it can vanquish bias, with the subhead, "Algorithms we can't understand can make insurance fairer." Now, we had a long back and forth with Lemonade to try to understand when AI does and does not intervene in claims. The company told us that AI Jim doesn't use AI to deal with claims without human intervention, and that what it meant in the S-1 is that AI Jim is a product, and when it denies claims without intervention, it's because those claims are inaccurate, like the person didn't have a policy when the claim was filed, or the amount they claimed is below their deductible. And their system, they said, can check that without AI or machine learning. So just regular old computers comparing data sets using an algorithm, but not the learning kind. So we asked when Lemonade does use AI, since that is a big part of its business claims. And the company said this, quote, "AI Jim, the chatbot, does not detect fraud on its own, but detects explicit signals that then flag claims that get escalated to our investigators. None of these data points are based on the physical attributes of the person submitting the claim. These flagged claims then get reviewed by our human investigators," end quote. The statement went on to say that the type of detection done is described in this blog post that we have a link to at our site, and then says it is, quote, "basically using facial recognition technology to flag claims submitted by the same person under different identities." In the post, Lemonade cites an example of a person who tried to file multiple claims. They changed the account details and also put on wigs and lipstick, which seems to me to be physical attributes, or at least those nonverbal cues they talked about. Honestly, at this point, I'm not even sure. If you would like to refresh yourself on the FTC's blog post from last month, there's a link to that at our site as well. AI's Jesus Alvarado, Stephanie Hughes, and Michael Lipkin produced the show. Our engineer is AI Jessen Dueler, all using just regular old I. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.